We may move along from day to day easily, walking in the sunshine, enjoying the view, feeling at peace. And then it comes, a crossroad, a choice point. There we stand, frozen to the spot. Which way now? Right? Left? Straight? What weights down each of those choices? Which way does our heart call us to go? Which makes sense? Which is God's way? The answers aren't easy. A crossroad can bring daunting spiritual pain, and it can bring us to our knees. It can even bring us to destruction. Tonight we have an expert on the crossroad of temptation. We're going to interview the one who has become identified with the sin of betrayal. His name is a watchword for the failure of loyalty, failure of will, and just plain failure itself. We're going to interview Judas Iscariot. Welcome, Judas. I know this must be difficult for you, but we really hope to understand you better. Can you tell us something about yourself?
Tell you? Why should I tell you? You all know about me. Everyone knows about me. My name is spoken often, too often, and it always is with condemnation.
We know. We know the story, but we want to understand. It seems amazing to us that you would betray Jesus for a few pieces of silver, even when you were warned. How could this have happened?
You know, when I look back at the night in the upper room and in the garden, I ask myself the same question. But by then, I'd already decided to take the money and betray Jesus. I had already gotten to the crossroads and made the choice. And the choice turned out to be a disaster.
But didn't you know it would turn out that way? Didn't you know that betraying Jesus would lead you to his arrest and his death? If you knew that, how could you do it?
It all seems so easy to you, cut and dry when you read the story. But there was more to it. I really didn't know it would turn out that way. I made the choice to accept the money. I needed the money. And Jesus kept promising that he was going to set up a kingdom, that we would be rewarded. I wanted to be there when the rewards came, but it was taking so long. And he kept talking about suffering and dying. I didn't need that. I needed money.
But how could you make that choice?
I had convinced myself, or Satan had convinced me, that it wouldn't be so bad. After all, Jesus wasn't exactly hiding. He rode into Jerusalem in a grand procession, appeared in the temple and on the streets. What would make my marking him do? He could easily escape. He had done it before. My act was nothing. I thought he would just disappear into the crowd as he always had in the past.
But why? Was the money really all that important?
It seemed like it at the time. All that silver, that's a lot of money. I thought I might be doing Jesus a favor and getting him in a place where he could begin the revolution that would overcome the Romans and start his new kingdom. I thought I was doing the right thing. At least, that is what Satan was whispering to me.
And you thought his betrayal would turn out good.
That is what I convinced myself. Listen, everyone thinks that they understand how Satan works, that he is kind of there trying to get us to do bad things. Not true. Much more, he's trying to make us believe that the evil that lies before us at the crossroads is actually good, that it will all work out for the good. He's not just trying to make us do wrong, but to think wrong.
We thought temptation was to sin. What are you telling us?
You don't have to believe me, but now I know that every sin starts out with a twisted thought. Look at Jesus when he was tempted by Satan. Those things that Satan was trying to get Jesus to do were not wrong in themselves. Jesus could have turned stones to bread and not sinned, but Satan was tempting him like he tempts us. If you are the Son of God, if you really are, you can use your power for yourself. Sin starts in the mind, in the will, in the choice.
But we are not like Jesus or even like you. Our choices are simpler, more day-to-day. We don't betray Jesus.
No. A businessman faces a choice to cut the quality on his products. No one will be hurt, he thinks. He's just doing good business. And he makes the choice. He convinces himself that what he's doing is not wrong. Or someone says that getting back at another person who has caused him hurt is a good thing to do. I will teach him a lesson, we think. The sin begins in the thoughts that lead us to excuse our bad choices, to justify what we are doing. And then we find ourselves down the wrong road, in the middle of the terrible outcome of our choice. And then? Well, for me, it was too late. When I realized what the outcome of my choice was, when I saw Jesus arrested, condemned, I could not face myself, my future, my God. But for you, if you want my advice, when you find yourselves down the wrong road, facing the consequences of your choice, then is the time to turn back. Repent. Turn around. Turn away from the bad choice. Turn to the one whom you have betrayed.
Why didn't you do that?
I thought my sin was unforgivable. I had betrayed the chosen one of God. I thought it was too late for me. I remember Jesus granting forgiveness to some pretty vile people, but I had built up a mountain of sin. But you need to listen up. It's never too late. Never too late to turn. If you really want to learn anything from me, it should be this. No matter what the sin, no matter what the terrible outcome of your choice, no matter the great disaster, it is never too late. It is never too late to come to the cross, come to the broken Savior, come to the empty tomb, and be made whole.
Even when it's a mountain of sin?
Even when the pain is so deep it cannot be spoken. Even when the separation from God seems too far, when the damage seems too severe, it is never too late. You can be assured that these words are true. If we confess our sins, if He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all. That's all of it. Everything. I wish I had turned. I wish I had turned.
Dear people of God, Satan is known as the deceiver. And though he tricks and misleads all of us into making bad choices, we must learn from Judas' story. Jesus says to one and to all, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's no greater anxiety than the sins that oppress and crush our spirits and make us feel unworthy. Jesus came to release us from the bondage of our sin and to give us the abundant life, which starts precisely when we acknowledge our wrongdoing and then trust that His death on the cross has brought forgiveness to all people. And that includes me, even the worst of sinners. Let us rest in His forgiveness and encourage others who are also burdened.